if you like your gadgets, if you'd like to know what's going on in the technological world, we have the guest for you. It's the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp. Got his own website, gadgetdetective.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. He's all over the place, but he's always with us on a Saturday, which is lovely. Morning, Fevzi.
Hello, Bill.
We're going to have to go like Kurt Thunder today because you've got two gadgets to tell us about. It's like a compare and contrast, isn't it? But first of all, your story of the week, your tech story, and it's rather an alarming one. Mental Health Helpline ends data sharing relationship. I can hear people saying to their radio all over Berkshire and beyond, you mean they were sharing data in the first place?
Mm. Yeah, so this is something, it's a text-based service for people who are suffering with mental health issues. So for those that don't want to or don't feel up to talking to somebody, they can text. And actually this form of communication is growing and can be very helpful, you know, for people who are fragile and just don't feel up to face-to-face or even verbal telephone conversations. So this particular line is called the Crisis Text Line, or CTL. And it's been sharing information with an AI software company called Loris.ai. Mm-hmm. And this came to light. Well, kind of Loris made a sort of a rod for their own back with this one, because back in August, they said that their AI-powered chat solution helped customer service representatives, and I quote, understand the customer's sentiment and dynamically crafted effective responses. So it basically is a software system designed to help humans understand other humans and make up a reply that placates them in some way. So I understand, says the AI, and the human being parrots that. But in that same communication, they said that the Loris is AI systems comes from the highly acclaimed Crisis Text Line, where the ability to handle the toughest conversations is critical. And then it said, it is this intelligence drawn from analysing nearly 200 million messages that sits at the core of the AI. So, now, you know, CTL say that all this data was anonymized. I say that data is anonymized until it is de-anonymized. It's quite possible in many cases to un-anonymize or de-anonymize data. So that's to say they strip out the bits that have got your name and so forth in it and send and share it. But it is possible using other data, you know, like location data and other data, to work out who people are if you really want to. And this is obviously sensitive. People suffering with mental health issues have an expectation of privacy. CTL, in its defense, said, well, it's in the terms that we text them at the beginning of every text conversation.
Oh, that's our favorite. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, even those of us who are relatively stable mentally would need a solicitor and a few days to understand some of these terms. And for them to have a reasonable, and I would say legal expectation, that a contract has been formed, that that agreement is based on an understanding when someone is in a mentally agitated state, is not reasonable. And, because a contract and agreement is based upon the fact that both parties understand that they're entering into what they're entering into. If they don't, it's void. Anyway, CTL say they've stopped doing it now. It is very interesting, though, that we need to have a bigger conversation, because the way artificial intelligence learns is by being exposed to, as we see here, millions upon millions of examples of that data. So the way that an AI system can spot cancers in scans is to be given millions of scans of people who have cancer and then millions of people who don't have cancer, and for it to work out how to tell the difference. Mm. That's essentially what it is. In the same way that a top consultant will gain that experience over a whole career, the AI can gain it quickly, but it needs access to the data. And we can benefit from that. But I do think that, first of all, people have to understand that the data is being shared. And I think that they should be compensated for that. And we've had this with the NHS, of course.
Yes.
Sharing information with AI arms of large social networks without our knowledge or consent, and they did it in order to access. So this company was developing a system to help diagnose certain patients early. It's great. The NHS should have bought that or licensed that software or developed it itself. Instead, it bartered access to that software for our good, but by trading our information.
Hmm. Just wondering, they're not going to do it anymore. What about all the information they have already? Will the people that you're talking to still be reading prompts that come from that, or are they going to dismantle the whole thing? Because those are two very, very different, you know, ways of we're not doing it anymore, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they did say we've asked Loris.ai to delete the data. There's no indication from Loris whether they're doing that. Mm. I suspect that they're not obliged to delete the data, that the data was shared under an agreement, I guess, the text lines say that, you know, they sent out this message at the beginning saying that, you know, in a roundabout way, we may share your data with AI companies who will rule the earth one day.
So it'll still be floating about then, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with data, is that it gets copied and it gets used and spread It's very difficult to put the genie back in the bottle once it's out there. It's like a news story, isn't it? Just because you stop publishing a news story doesn't mean that people didn't know it and share it. And I think it's really bad, because these helplines do really important work, and you don't want a situation where people who are maybe already fearful for other reasons become fearful of seeking help.
Mm. Well, I can think of all kinds of other moral directions we could go off in this, but I don't think we will, because, as I say, we've got two gadgets for the price of one, albeit they're the same kind of gadget, and yes. I don't want you to have to, you know, go quicker than you want to. So we'll leave that one there, but it is a fascinating story, and at least, you know, something is being done, even if the solution might not be ideal, I guess we can say. Gadget time. Two microphones today.
Yes.
Interesting that you've chosen to do two of them. No doubt all will be revealed. Off you go.
Okay, so these are microphones that are for people who want to do something like podcasting or streaming or voiceover recordings or even you know, radio. And they're two different microphones from the same company, and they're quite different. I thought we could use them to just explain the differences between microphones and how you actually choose one for your needs. Both of these are branded by a brand called 512 Audio. Now, 512 Audio is our products are designed and developed by a pro audio equipment company called Warm Audio. They're based in Austin, Texas, and they produce products for everyone from Michael Bublé through to Green Day. So they're a respected brand, and this is a new brand that they've put forward, 512 Audio. I think 512 is because I tried to work it out. I noticed 512 is the area code for Austin, Texas, where they're based.
So I think that's what it's
all about. So both of these, so there's two microphones. One is called the Skylight, and the other one is called the Limelight. Okay, mm-hmm. And they're both vocal microphones. Both of them are professional quality microphones. Both of them use a connector called an XLR connector. So this is a step up from those sort of cheaper USB microphones that people maybe start with, which are very convenient to use because you can plug them directly into a computer and record directly into a computer. With XLR connectors, which is those three pins that look like a little bit like a smiley face in a circular connector, with these, they are much more professional connectors, much more robust, can have higher quality if you attach them to the right equipment, and give you the ability to alter the levels in a way that a USB signal doesn't allow you. So if you're thinking that, okay, you may be doing a little bit of podcasting, you want to take a step up, then you can consider a more pro mic. So the Skylight one, which is the one I prefer, has got a large diaphragm. That means the vibrating bit of it is quite wide. It gives you a deeper sound. And this one gives you a very smooth tone. As I say, it's targeted at podcasters, streamers, and vocal recorders. It's a very solid build quality as well. I really liked that. I like microphones that look like they're going to last longer than I am, that I have to think about who to leave it to in my will. You know,
because, of course, technology is never going to move on at all, so you're not going to be replacing it ever.
Well, you say that, right? I'm talking to you now on a microphone called an Electrovoice RE20. It is, the design is about as old as I am.
It's
been around, I think, since the 50s or 60s. Yeah.
I stand corrected, and
it is one of the best microphones available.
Right.
It's an expensive microphone. It's much more expensive than the ones we're talking about here. But you know, microphone technology is one of those things, actually, where particularly if you're going for an XLR, because XLR doesn't change. Yeah, it's been there forever. USB keeps changing. So your microphone could become incompatible with your computer if you've got a USB mic, whereas if you've got an XLR, as long as you attach it to the right electronics, you can connect it to a modern computer in 50 years' time.
Okay.
So, you know, that doesn't change. So the build quality on this one is particularly good. It comes with a shock mount, which is kind of a mount that means that it resists the effects of vibrations and bumps as well. So if you bump the desktop or the microphone arm or the microphone itself, it's not an overwhelmingly loud sound. I mean, you do hear it, but it does a good job of resisting that. It also comes with a detachable metal mesh pop filter, which helps reduce plosives. So you got pa pa pa, all that.
Oh, yeah,
you know, it stops that. So this is a very good microphone. Comes with the shock mount, comes with the pop filter, comes with a carry bag. In the States, it's $200. Here, I saw it on a big retailer's website for £179.43.
Mm-hmm.
I've given this one 4 stars out of 5, and I will give you the same advice about any microphone that you purchase. Microphones are a very, very personal choice, not only what you enjoy, but your vocal quality. So this one, for example, it accentuates the low and mid range of a voice. So if a person is a little bit higher in their register, then a mic like this can be really good. For me, the microphone would make it a little bit of a dirge because my voice is already deep and we take it deeper still.
Yeah,
and only dogs will hear me speak. Arguably,
does it work
thing.
At the bottom? I knew it was the high notes that dogs can't hear. They can't hear the low notes either, right?
I don't know. Yeah. My dog resonates when I speak, so I think maybe they do hear the low end as well. But you may be right. You may be right. So moving on from that, the second one for 512 Audio is called the Limelight. So the first one was a Skylight.
Yeah.
That was a condenser mic. The other thing I should say about condenser microphones is they are more sensitive than dynamic microphones. That's good if you've got a very quiet environment, if you've got a quiet room or ideally a studio, a condenser is ideal because you don't have to get right up next to it and it will pick you up, at various angles
right,
instead of being straight on it. The dynamic microphone, the Limelight one, which is a very similar price, and again, 512 Audio, it, again, is a vocal mic, but dynamic mics are less sensitive, so you have to get literally within an inch or two of them. And why would you want a microphone that's less sensitive? Well, the answer is if you have background noise.
Yeah.
If you've got fans or noisy family.
Hence the classic sports reporter with the microphone touching his face, of course.
Exactly. You get this little thing that just sits on their lip, don't you? Just stops them actually touching it, but gets as close as possible without touching it. And so, those are, I think, sometimes what's called ribbon microphones. But it's the same principle. They're not very sensitive, and you have to get right up close to it. And it's the same with this one. So if you're in a noisier environment, but you still want to make high quality recordings, then you tend to go for a dynamic microphone such as a Limelight, but there are others to choose from. Again, professional mic, XLR connection. It's got what's called a hypercardioid pickup pattern. So cardioid means heart-shaped, and hypercardioid means it really does concentrate on picking up what's the sound right in front of it, and much less so to the sides and to the back.
Mm-hmm.
So again, good if you've got a noisy environment.
You've got to use it properly. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to think of your environment. But again, buy it from somewhere. It doesn't have to be Amazon, but buy it from somewhere where you've got like a 30-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. Because the point I was trying to make, and I think I distracted myself, was that it's a personal choice. Depends on your voice. Depends on your preferences. A microphone can be great for me and terrible for you and vice versa. And that's even before you just take into account taste and preferences.
Buy it from
somewhere where you can try it, and then if you don't like it, send it back. Comes with a swivel mount and protective case, £176.13, 3.5 stars out of 5. I marked it slightly lower just because the build quality on it wasn't the best. It was average, whereas the build quality on the Skylight is rock solid. So for that reason, the Skylight gets 4 stars, the Skylight gets 4 stars, and the Limelight dynamic mic gets 3.5 out of 5.
Very good. You always get 5, as far as we're concerned, and we shall talk again. Yeah, well, we love you. Talk again in a week's time. Thank you so much for that, Fevzi.